Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's message is taken from our epistle reading from Romans chapter 8, with an emphasis on these words. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. New year, new me. Many of you on social media have probably seen this slogan, or some variation thereof, plastered on the walls and the feeds of many of your friends as we approach the new year. Maybe a few of you have posted it yourselves to declare your resolutions to your friends and followers. 2025 is going to be the year where I eat healthier, exercise more, spend less time in the office, more time with family, and grow deeper in my faith. We make these resolutions with the best of intentions, and probably even keep up with them diligently as the year begins. But friends, how often have you strived for meaningful change only to slip right back into old habits? I know I have. By April or May, sometime sooner, the exercise bike is gathering dust, travel plans are still in the conceptual stage, and my read the Bible in a year plan has hit a roadblock somewhere around Genesis chapter 2. Soon our resolve weakens, and we begin to say to ourselves, next year is the year where I will make the big changes that I've been needing to make. Why is it so hard to stick with the changes we desire for ourselves? Why, despite our best intentions, do we repeatedly fall short of our own expectations? Finding ourselves stuck in bad habits is, of course, a consequence of sin. For every voice encouraging us to do better and to be better, we also hear the voice of the tempter whispering to us, "Well, you can be better tomorrow. Why not just let things slide for today? Does it really matter if you show up for your kids' practice or not? Is anyone even going to notice you putting the extra effort into your work? Or are they really going to miss you all that much if you skip worship just one Sunday?" We fail ourselves and others because we're a broken people. We earnestly desire more for ourselves but are inconsistent in our follow-through. Despite the success or failure of our goals and resolutions, we must all admit that even at our very best, we have our limits, and that no changes we can make could ever overcome the root problem of sin. Therefore, our God has some good news for us as we begin this new year. Our epistle reading from Romans chapter 8 speaks directly to just this kind of tension in our lives. It contrasts our inconsistent efforts and our fleeting resolve with the unwavering, permanent love of our God. Tonight, as we reflect on the year past, and as we look forward to the year ahead, we come into God's house again to anchor ourselves in the truth that His love for us never changes. Even when we fail, God remains steadfast, calling us back to Himself and renewing our faith by His good and gracious gifts. We often make those resolutions that I mentioned because we all see the need for meaningful change. We recognize those areas of our lives that need improvement, and we really do want to do better. But our resolutions are often short-lived, because, as you probably noticed, they all rely wholly on our own strength and determination, both of which are finite. Consider St. Paul's words in the chapter which immediately precedes our reading for this evening, from Romans chapter 7, where he says, "For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Even an apostle like Paul, a beloved church father and martyr for the faith, struggled with the reality of sin and the weakness of the flesh. Therefore, what was true for Paul then must also be true for us. Sin affects every part of our being, including our willpower and our intentions. On our own, we are powerless to make lasting change because sin and the bad habits that flow out of it are so ingrained in us. We behave selfishly and impulsively. We are short-sighted. We lack compassion and love for our neighbor. The problems are easy to see, but impossible to overcome by the simple virtue of our effort. This is why our resolutions many times fail. They are attempts to fix ourselves apart from God. Yet, despite our sinful inconsistency, Paul soon declares a life-changing truth to us in our text. If God is for us, he writes, who can be against us? Yes, my commitment may falter, but God's commitment to me never does. I may not be enough on my own, but still my God is for me, and he is enough. The love of God is not based on my performance. It is established from before the foundations of the earth in his eternal nature, and it is manifested by his saving work in Christ. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Though we are quick to break our resolutions, God's resolve to love us is unbreakable. His love is not a best intention, which is quickly forgotten. It is persistent and unchanging. It is an active, sacrificial love, demonstrated in the giving of his Son. For Jesus Christ took on our human flesh, lived the perfect life that we could not live, and died on the cross in propitiation for our sins. All of this Jesus did without wavering, submitting himself in perfect obedience for our sake. This was not a spur-of-the-moment decision or some half-baked attempt at change. No, this was God's eternal plan to redeem us. In Christ, God resolved to save us, and he carried out that resolution perfectly. Jesus did not falter in his mission, even as he faced betrayal, suffering, and death. His dying cry from the cross, "It is finished," declared that our salvation is complete, that nothing more is required, that nothing can be added to it by our works of merit. Therefore, Paul asks, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Through Christ, we have been justified completely before our God and Father. Our sins, those past, present, and future, are fully forgiven. This justification is not dependent on our ability to keep resolutions or to overcome sin by our own strength. We did not win forgiveness for ourselves by our good intentions or by our best efforts. Rather, it was entirely the work of God himself, given to us through Christ as a gift of grace. So the apostle writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or danger or sword? Well, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." Every power of the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh levels itself against our justification in Christ, whispering doubt and urging us back into that sin which once separated us from our God, bidding us fall right back into those habits that once rendered us condemned. But good news, friends. Just as we have habits, so does God. And unlike our habits, inconsistent and flawed as they are, God's habits are perfectly good and they are always reliable. What's more, everything he does for our sake. His love for us is shown in ongoing action, those acts of divine service that he renders in his church on earth. God speaks to us through the scriptures, reminding us of his promise and guiding us in his truth. In the Word, we hear the good news that we are forgiven and loved. We also hear that just as Christ accomplished our salvation, so also does he provide ongoing care and encouragement to us in this Christian faith. As the 119th Psalm declares, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." it doesn't matter that I am not enough on my own. God's word of Christ, crucified for me, is my constant guide. Not only this, but in the daily remembrance of our baptism into Christ, we are given that assurance of the new beginning made for us by our God. We are called His children and given a place in His kingdom. And because it is God who makes this happen, it cannot be undone, even when we falter. In Holy Communion, Christ gives us His body and blood for the forgiveness of sins and for the strengthening of our faith. He is ever resolved to keep us in the holy ark of the Christian Church until that day when the promises made in our baptism are revealed at the resurrection of the flesh. These means of grace are God's tangible reminders of His love and commitment to us. In other words, these are God's habits. These are the ways in which He faithfully comes to us time and time again. For God's habits are eternal. He will never stop loving us, forgiving us, and calling us to Himself. Therefore, even though we die to sin, still the Apostle writes, "We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Friends, as we stand on the threshold of a new year, be it resolved for us that we ever draw near to God and His gifts, that we be in the habit of hearing His word, receiving His blessings, and gathering with His people. These habits of the Christian faith are not burdens, but they are what we have called them, blessings. Blessings by which God reminds us of His unchanging love. When we fail to perfectly keep these habits, and we will, we can still trust that our God's love remains constant. His forgiveness will always be spoken from this altar, and His grace is sufficient for every need. Therefore rejoice, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that our hope for lasting change is not tied to our ability to keep resolutions, but it is in the love of God, shown to us each day in our Savior. Even when we fall back into those old habits, God's commitment to us remains certain. He has resolved to love us, and He has proven that love by giving us His Son. Nothing, therefore, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. May His steadfast love give you confidence and peace, regardless of what new beginnings or old habits lie ahead in 2025. Let your joy this year and every year be in the habits of God's grace, by which He reminds you that you are His and He is yours forever. In Jesus' name, Amen.